Go for it. Good morning, everybody. Let's stand and worship together this morning.
Heaven and nature. seated. Just want to talk to those on Zoom here today. We want to welcome you and thank you for joining us from week to week. Whoever you are, I don't know, I cannot see you, but maybe you can see me. But we're glad for those of our snowbirds at Left Harbor of Joy, wherever you may be. Thanks for joining us today. And those of you that we're not familiar with, it's good to have you with us this morning too. The fourth Sunday of Advent, which means Christmas is not too far away. It's going to happen this Wednesday. Everybody set? Ready for the company that's coming? Or ready to go to the place where you're going? I don't know. But anyway, we're glad that you are here today as well. Welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who we celebrate his birthday coming this Wednesday. Just a couple of things I want to mention to you today is that our hearts go out to Doug Hispy. Many of you know Idella, and she passed away on Monday this last week. Her funeral will be sometime here at Harbor of Joy in the future. Doug right now is in Colorado with his kids. And then he said he'll call me when he gets back and we'll figure something out at that time. So it might not be spring when we have a little celebration of life for Idella, but it will be sometime later, just so you know that. And so our hearts go out to the family of the Hispies, because it really happened quick when you think of it. So update on Dean Ramsey. Dean has been out in Las Vegas, Nevada, in intensive care with his son, Rob. He did have surgery on Thursday night. The surgeon said he did find some, some infection that was in between the fourth and fifth vertebrae, and he cleaned that all out. And then the next day, he had more feeling at that time, but it's still, he's not at all back to where he was before. Dean's there, he's flying back home today. And then I think he'll probably be here until Cheryl is well enough where they can both go out to Las Vegas. But Rob does have a little bit more feeling than what he had before. It's just going to take a long time. If you don't know it, but he's kind of up there in the Cracker Barrel restaurants chain. And so he flies all over the United States, going to Cracker Barrels type of a thing and helping out with getting him going, or if there's issues, he's got to deal with that. So he has no idea where this came from. And if Rob is anything like Dean, it's hard for him to be doing nothing. So just pray for Rob. Dean had said this, and that's in your bulletin. He said, there's only one way that Rob is going to get better, and that is that God's got to touch his body and touch his life. He knows it's, he says, doctors are good, medication is good, he said, but God's got to touch him to bring him back to where he was. There's no doubt about that. And it looks like it's going to be a long process. So that's the latest with Rob and with Dean with that. And so moving on in our bulletin, just want to remind you about the reading through the Bible in a year. And Patty is here to tell us a little bit more about that. Can you use this roving mic there? Okay.
All right. A week from Wednesday, we start this adventure. And I just want to read a little quote from Anne Graham Lotz. She says, one of the primary reasons we need to be in a disciplined study of Scripture is so we can saturate ourselves in the truth. When we know the truth and we are presented with that which is false, we will instinctively recognize it. Measuring philosophies or theologies or opinions or sermons or books or doctrines or counsel by the word of God is like exposing the crookedness of a stick by placing a straight stick beside it. So it'll be really good for all of us to read together through the Bible recap. So we have these little things on the back table that show you how to find the app. If you want to use the app, go to the Play Store and pick YouVersion, and then in there you can pick the Bible recap. If you don't want to use any technology, we have sheets that have every day of the year and what we'll be reading. So these are on the back table too, okay? you have any questions, you can see me.
Thank you very much, Patty. If you've never read through the Bible, this is a good way to go through it. And there will be a test at the end of December on doing this. No, I'm just kidding with that. But do want to let you know, though, that because the snowbirds, a lot of people from our church are gone, we do have Meals on Wheels for the month of January. There are still some openings for that. And so that's in the back of your flyer in your bulletin, that we still need people that could deliver meals. You kind of go there to the nursing home Akira down the street here, pick up your meal like around 11 o'clock, you know, and then go and they've got the list. It's very nice on how they got it all figured out. But only I would get lost. But none of you would probably get lost. So if you want to help out with that, it doesn't take very long to do. It's just a really good service thing to do, and you make somebody's day just by delivering meals to them and just talking to them a little bit. It's a wonderful thing. So if you want to do that, call the church office, and there's a sign-up sheet by the secretary's office as well with that. I do want to remind you that this Tuesday night we are having a candlelight Christmas Eve service here. It starts at 6 o'clock. So just want you to know that so you can plan around that. Do you want to eat before 6 or do you want to eat after? I don't want to go a whole hour, but who knows? It might be. So at any rate, take your chances. And if you want to eat afterwards, it might be after 7 o'clock for sure. More than likely by the time you sit down and start eating with that. Anybody having lutefisk? How about that? Nobody here is having lutefisk. Oh, Dean is the one that makes it? Oh, well, I don't know if he'll have it either this year, but you never know. I'd rather have a can of tuna than lutefisk, just in case you want to know that. But okay, let's just have a word of prayer together this morning and turn it over to the praise band here. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for this time of the year, where we know that there's hope that is coming through the birth of your son, Jesus Christ. And may we never lose sight of that. Christmas is really every day throughout the year. It's not just one day that we put aside and make it kind of special, but we are grateful for the ways that families get together or we have that yearning to go to be with family, if possible. And so sometimes maybe only a phone call is all we can do. Sometimes maybe it's just a card to send or a little Christmas letter or note, who knows. But there's something about Christmas that brings people together. And we just thank you for the hope that you give to us, the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, that we may know him personally as our Savior and as our Lord. And so may you use even the Christmas programs that we attend either today or this past week or the ones that are coming up in a way that we connect with you, Lord, maybe in a way we've never connected with you before. So we thank you for those that are listening in on Zoom here today. May your blessing be upon your home and may you continue to guide and lead us as we interact with family and with friends, and also celebrate where we can say Merry Christmas to one another and mean it. And so we just pray these things, Lord. Be with our service today. Thank you for the music. Thank you for the voices. Thank you for being here in our midst today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh. Call to worship. That's me. Psalm 80 is where we look at here today. It says, "Restore us, O God. Make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us, and we will call on your name. Restore us, O Lord God Almighty, make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. Spirit, three in one. It's wonderful. You can, do you guys sit down now? Okay, you're dismissed. You can sit down. Responsive reading today comes to us from the minor prophet who has the name Micah. In the Old Testament. I'll take the first one because there's a hard word in there to pronounce, and I'm not even sure if I'm going to pronounce it right. But I'll make it sound like I know what I'm doing. Okay. But you, Bethlehem, another name for Bethlehem is what the word that follows. Ephrathah. Though you are small among the clans of Judah. Out of Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the end of time, when she who is in labor gives birth. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord. And they will live securely. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. Bob and Lisa Floss are going to lead us in some Christmas songs, I think. Blessings on you.
So I asked Bob what his favorite Christmas song was.
So we're doing that one for sure.
You guys, these are very familiar songs, and so just join in. So you're part of the special music today. Didn't know you were going to do that. So anyway, that's what we're going to do, and we'll get started here. So.
Hark, the herald angels sing, you angels.
Thank you. Jesus Christ is Lord.
Thank you, Bob and Lisa. You know, as many times as you've sung some of these songs, they still don't know the words. Do you feel that way sometimes? Yeah, if you don't have the words, you go like, you start singing Watermelon, you know. But thank you so much. Always good to sing Christmas songs, especially this time of the year as well. I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 39 through 45, if you have your Bibles with us. If you got your high-tech devices here, you can hit that, whatever it is. But I'm going to invite you to stand as we hear God's word here this morning. It comes to us, like I said, from Luke 1, chapter 39 to 45, and I think you will identify who this is talking about here. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. So she had to go from Nazareth way south to Judea. That's where Jerusalem is at. You're looking at around at least 75 miles to go see her cousin, Elizabeth. She entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, Elizabeth is pregnant now, about 6 months. The baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Heavenly Father, these are your words that some of us have heard many times through the years, and there can be some here today that they haven't heard this for a long time, or could be the first time. But these are your words, Lord, and you've given them to us for a purpose and for a reason, that you want to speak to us through them and remind us of all that you went through for us who are here today and those that are on Zoom. May you use your words here today as we spend time thinking and pondering and receiving them into our hearts and into our lives, that we may go and leave the church today with uplifted hearts and a soul that has been fed through your word today. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In our text, we find two women. You know their names. They are who? Very good. You've been listening. Something amazing here with these two ladies. They're both miracles. Their pregnancies are both miracles. Elizabeth has been barren for many years. She cannot have children. Her husband is Zechariah, and of all things, Zechariah is a priest who has been chosen to minister and to go into the temple by the altar, which would also then, everybody would be talking about his wife, Elizabeth. How can a man of God have a wife that has no children? And him being a priest, in the Jewish culture, if a woman cannot bear children, they've sinned. They got some kind of sin in their life, and that's why they can't have kids. Because kids were looked upon as a blessing from God. So Elizabeth, kind of think of some of the things that she's gone through over the years of being barren. And probably the talk of a lot of people behind her back. Of she should have kids, and there are none. So she's got to have sinned somewhere along the way, or there's hidden sin in her life, and that's why she has no kids. Well, we'll get to what happens here. Are you excited to hear what's coming next? Good, some of you are, and some of you are already sleeping. It's okay. Elizabeth is the older woman here, and you have Mary, who is much younger. It's believed that Mary is probably just in her teens. She's a teenager at this time. Elizabeth is 6 months along in her pregnancy with child, and that, you know, that shouldn't happen, but now she's pregnant. I don't know what age she's at. It doesn't say what age she is, but she's beyond the time that you can have children. But here she is, pregnant. Mary comes to her place, and both of these ladies know what they're going to have even before ultrasound. They both know that they're going to have boys. Oh, I forgot to say, kids, you know, you can be dismissed now if you want to be dismissed. Anybody here? Oh, they're gone already, okay. I forgot to say that. Kids, you can go. It's the sermon time. Okay. They're gone. But they're both going to have boys. How do they know that? It's because the angel Gabriel is involved in this. Has told Mary that her relative, her cousin Elizabeth, is with child. Right after she herself has given the green light to say, like, okay, if that's what the Lord wants, then I'll become pregnant. I'll carry the Lord's son too. And she didn't know what that meant either. But she gave in to what was asked of her to do. So Mary takes off, goes to Elizabeth's place. So if Elizabeth is 6 months along, that means Mary is about 3 months along. They're that close in having their boys. They're going to be cousins. The boy that Elizabeth is carrying, we know him as John the Baptist. And of course, we know that the Mary was a virgin. It was a miracle in her conception as well. She's holding Jesus. So look, in reality, this is the first time John the Baptist and Jesus meet when they're in the womb of their mothers. It is no wonder when Elizabeth says to Mary, "The sound of your voice," it's a surprise, like a surprise visit, "that the baby leaped in my womb." And she knew that something special was going on in Mary's life in order for her baby to leap and the joy that was there at the time of her greeting. Now, how long do you want people to stay at your house during Christmas? Mary stayed with Elizabeth 3 months. Would you like that? We're chasing our kids away after 3 days. Because you know the saying, after 3 days, fish start smelling. And so they're going to be gone beginning of Thursday. So that might be more than 3 days, who knows. They're coming today. But we're looking forward to that. So this is a surprise visit. And that's what I want us to focus on here today, is that, do you like surprise visits or not? But then it goes, it depends upon who it is. It depends upon where you're at. You could be in a hospital. You welcome people coming to see you. You could be in a nursing home. And, you know, it's kind of like, do you have to go so soon? I said, I've been here already over an hour. But do you have to go? Can't you just stay a little bit longer? People in a nursing home love company. So it depends upon who it is and how often you are able to come and see them. So we have in our text here today that Elizabeth has joy on this surprise visit by her cousin Mary. And they talk about a lot of different things to those 3 months, as you can about imagine, that women who are both pregnant, they have a lot of catching up to do and talking, and Mary stayed there more than likely till the birth of John the Baptist took place, and then before she left. So surprise visits, they can be short, or they can be long. Mary was there for Elizabeth those 3 months. Elizabeth's husband was Zechariah. There's no mention of Zechariah. There's no mention of Joseph here either. Doesn't mean they didn't talk about those guys. But in our text, there's no mention of them, of these men. But we know Elizabeth's husband was Zechariah. And he was surprised when he went into the temple by the altar one day, and it was the angel Gabriel who met him. He could see him and told him that, hey, I heard your prayers, and guess what? You're going to become a dad. Some of you can remember those days when it was official. You're going to be a dad. Now some of you are grandpas. And some of you are great-grandpas. Think of that. But there's something that happened to Zechariah that day. He lost his voice. He could not say a thing after this encounter with the angel. And he didn't get it back until it came time to name the baby. And it was Elizabeth who said, his name will be John. And everybody goes like, he can't be John. You have nobody in your family with that name. Ole? Sven? Yeah, but not John. And you're going to have a boy. And his name is to be John, is what Gabriel said to him. He was not able to talk at all during that time until the baby was named. And we think of Jesus' birth. It took a long time before he was born. The Bible speaks of Jesus way back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Did you know that? It says this in Genesis 3:15. This is after the fall in the Garden of Eden. This is where the deception of the serpent was to Eve and Adam. It says, I will put enmity between you and the woman. And God is speaking about the serpent. He's speaking about the devil, about Satan. This is his judgment on what has just taken place here. I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He is Jesus here, will crush your head. It's fatal. And you will strike his heel. It's not fatal. When you look at the cross and what happened, what took place on the cross of Jesus laying down his life, I'm sure Satan was full of glee at that time of going like, ha, I got him at last. He's a dead man. But something happened on the third day that made all of his joy crumble when Jesus rose from the dead. And Jesus is the victor over death, over sin, and over Satan. The prophets in the Old Testament spoke about Jesus. He talked about the coming of the Anointed One, or the Messiah. And we know that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. How do we know that? Because the gospel writers gave us the facts about Christ's death. I mean, his birth, I should say, not his death, but his birth. Do you know that only Matthew and Luke tell us about Mary and his growing up? I mean, his birth. Just those two gospel writers mention his birth. If we didn't have that, we would know nothing about Jesus' birth. And when he was lost in the temple, speaking to the elders. We don't have much about Jesus as a young person in the scriptures. But we have a lot about him when he entered into the ministry. And we know a lot about John the Baptist. John the Baptist is mentioned in all four of the gospels. But Jesus is only, his birth is only in Matthew and in Luke. Matthew would be more of a Jewish person. He goes from a time of looking at how the Jews, with the laws and the things that they believed in that time, he addresses their thoughts. That's his audience, is the Jews. Luke, who is not one of the 12, physician by occupation, and someone who asks a lot of questions and looking at the facts about Jesus, what he's heard about him, and going to talk to eyewitnesses and people who knew him and people who probably knew someone who did know them, but now they're gone. But he writes not just the Gospel of Luke, but he also writes the book of Acts. So it's the birth of Jesus that he talks about, he writes about, as well as the birth of the church in the book of Acts. Luke is the writer of the book of Acts. So Jesus still surprises us today. How does he surprise us? He surprises us by convicting us of our sin. We're guilty. We fall short of the glory of God. But he also provides a provision that God has given to us, that God has done for us through him. We know that Jesus died on the cross to forgive us of our sins. He's forgiven sins of people who he met here on earth that had all different kinds of diseases and difficulties and demon possession and sicknesses. You know, you name it, Jesus was there, and even was with the tax collectors and the prostitutes, and he spent time with everybody. Did everybody like Jesus? Well, not everybody. A lot of people did. But only Jesus who can forgive, and only Jesus who promises us eternal life. Because he's the only one that can give us eternal life. So Jesus surprised Elizabeth, because we know that she was surprised because she exclaimed in a loud voice when Mary came to see her. She felt the baby jump in her womb. And she blessed Mary as being the mother of Jesus, the Lord. She's carrying the Lord. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, which is very interesting because Pentecost has not happened yet. So God did another miracle in the life of Elizabeth. And they had to be some amazing women in and through all of this. So what they were before, as well as who they are now and what they will be in the days ahead. So Jesus wants to surprise you here today as well. That's probably the biggest surprise, is now. He wants you to know him as your personal Savior. He wants to give you his joy. He wants you to be able to say, oh boy, I have Jesus living in me. Can you say that honestly today? You've got Jesus Christ living in you today? That's what makes Christmas such a special time. That's why we come together like Tuesday night for a candlelight Christmas Eve service. Those are the best. I think it's the best one of the whole year. And there's something about lighting a candle when it's dark and to see the glow on each face who's holding that candle. And if you're too young to hold a candle, your time will come. But just look around. When that time comes, you'll go like, I wish this wouldn't end. It's just fun, meaningful to be here together. I want to tell you about a surprise visit that happened just this past week. We had gone up to see my mom up in a place called The Meadows, which is an independent living area. You have to take care of yourself to be there. It's connected to a nursing home. But mom is in an apartment. And it was mom's idea, knowing that Sharon had come with me and she brought her flute and the CD with her boombox, which we found out is an ancient piece of music. And the idea was for Sharon just to give mom a little Christmas music, play the flute in her room. My mom had other ideas, which surprised Sharon. She wanted everyone in that Meadows, all the people there, when it comes time to eat, after they got done eating, Sharon would play her flute and play this music, the Christmas music, to all of the residents there. Sharon didn't know that. I didn't either. And so she played her flute and along with the music, and it was a wonderful surprise to everybody. I talked to mom last night. She said, the people are still talking about it. They go, she'd better keep playing. And I go like, well, there'll be a day when she can't play the flute too. But a surprise visit can bring joy, as what these people received this past week. And thank you, by the way, for letting us go too. We came back a day early because the snowstorm we heard was coming. So I'm going, I'm not driving in any snowstorm. So we left early and came back on Wednesday. But there's no better person to receive a surprise visit from than Jesus Christ in your life. No better person. It's not that he wants to surprise you, but it's a kind of a surprise where you go like, now I get it. Now I know what he wants me to be like, which is to be like him in everything and in every way, because there's the only way I can do that is if he does it in and through me, as he'll do it in and through you as well. Only Jesus Christ can forgive you, and only Jesus can promise you eternal life, which means you can be with him forever. That's a great surprise. Be with those who have gone on before us, to be back with them again. It'll be a great day. So I just want to say this in closing. Just surprise someone this Christmas by sharing your faith with your family. Tell them that you believe in Jesus Christ and how you got to that place. How did he work in your life for you to do that? Because you probably have family people that don't even know how that happened in your life. If it was at a Bible camp, if it was at fishing or golf course, who knows? Maybe it was just in a time where you're just alone and saying, today is the day. Don't let it be tomorrow. Today is the day for salvation. Trust in him. Believe in him. Open up your heart to him. Today and every day. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I don't know if this is a real surprise to anyone or not, but we need Jesus Christ. He comes to us through your word, the Bible. He's here. Whenever your word is spoken, faith is there. That those that can hear the message and believe will be saved. Jesus is Lord. We need you, Jesus. It's just more than about eating food and watching football and playing games and sleeping. It's just knowing that we have you in our hearts and in our lives. That's the best joy we could ever share with one another. So be with these dear friends that are here today, those that are watching by Zoom, that today is the day that we are surprised that Jesus loved even me. He came to us. He came to me. Don't understand it all, but I know it was the way to bring peace and joy in a way that I never, ever experienced it in my life before. May that be the case this Christmas, or even today before we leave, that we make Jesus that Savior that he came to be for us. It was John the Baptist who said, "Behold," or "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Even John the Baptist, who was written about long time ago to the prophets, that he'd be the one who would prepare the way for Jesus. Are our hearts today prepared to meet Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior? Only each one here can answer that question. You will hear, and you will know what takes place here this morning. So may we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together this morning. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Receive the benediction. Lord, may your face shine upon each and every one here today. May you go with us. After hearing what we have heard today, may we understand the surprise, but also knowing that it touches our hearts and our lives as well, that you want to do that for each one of us here today. May we go, Lord, in your blessing today as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.